Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Let the filibustering begin.
Welcome to Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to Filibuster here on the Nerd Party Network. You can follow us on Twitter at @JoinNerdParty, find us on Facebook /TheNerdParty, Instagram TheNerdParty, and at TheNerdParty.com. So I'm really excited about this episode. It's coming out a bit later than I originally had hoped for. I'm going to be joined by Dallas today and in the second half of this episode by my girlfriend Jo to discuss the Avengers Infinity War fan event we went to. We originally hoped to do a sort of instant reaction on the night, but we were, as these things kind of go, we're embargoed until today, the 16th. Now we can finally share our thoughts on it. So we've had a few days to sit and reflect on it, but I want to go back to the beginning, Dallas. This has been sort of fueled for a wee while that this event was going to happen, there was going to be a premiere event. Did you actually believe we were ever going to get an Infinity War event or premiere at all?
To be honest, no. I always thought it was a bit of a pipe dream, given how the Marvel movie machine works and stuff like that. I know that basically at the moment they were planning on one major premiere, which will take place in LA, but outside of that, because they, you know, the secrets, they want to protect the secrets and stuff like that, it was very unlikely we would see anything. Also because, you know, people go to London and then that's it, and then they're off somewhere else. Scotland always gets a bit of the short straw in these events, but it was great to finally actually get something that the fans could see.
So obviously we were lucky enough to get tickets to the event, and it's sort of been teased for a while that it was almost actually going to happen. It had kind of leaked out that Elizabeth Olsen, Paul Bettany, the Russo brothers were going to come to Edinburgh, and it was going to be similar to a lot of events all around the world. We'd get about 20 to 30 minutes of footage from the movie. We would get some actors, and that would happen. So when the tickets went on sale, we expected sort of a modestly quite big event by Edinburgh standards. What was your kind of reaction to you've got your tickets, now you've got the event to look forward to, you're sort of in a challenging position that you've got to kind of travel from kind of north of the country all the way down to Edinburgh, so it's not an ideal thing for you?
No, I mean, it was a bit of a challenge, but I'm that much of a fan that I would have travelled probably even without a ticket just to kind of enjoy the event. If I had done, of course, given the slightly smaller scale event that took place, I might have been slightly disappointed. But overall, I mean, I really enjoyed the event, and I thought it was definitely worth the 5 hours on a train for the 20 minutes of footage that we actually saw. So.
Yeah, I know, exactly. There'll be people probably listening to this and thinking, going, you've travelled 5 hours to watch 20 minutes of footage that you'll see in a movie in a few weeks?
That's exactly what my wife actually said, yeah.
Yeah, it's usually the partners, the more kind of probably the brainier of the two that sometimes kind of come out with these ones. So obviously with the event, we actually only got Joe Russo in the end. We were sort of having a bit of a feeling that was going to be the case. Kind of Elizabeth Olsen, Paul Bettany, and Anthony Russo, it was sort of kind of started to be hinted that they weren't going to be coming. So was that a bit of a disappointment for you?
I mean, it would have been great to see Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany, since they're the two stars that have the most story within Edinburgh. But it was still great to have Joe Russo up. I mean, he basically sort of said when he introduced it that he sort of made one girl stand up who'd been behind a petition for a premiere or screening in Edinburgh. So it sounds like that this screening in Edinburgh was basically sort of asked for by Joe Russo, because he wanted to bring something up for Edinburgh. I think a lot of the other stars were going off other places in the end, and it turned out that he was the only one able to make it up. But he did want to do something in Edinburgh, given how much time they spent up here filming and stuff like that. So I thought it was great that he managed to do this.
Yeah, it was a real touch
fans.
Of class, I thought, from him. Like, I got the very much impression this was something that was tacked on in the end to the big list. When you look at, like, they're going to be at Korea, Brazil, Portugal, you know, all around the world. And then you see with like, oh, this cast members are going to be here, this cast members are going to be here. Sort of Edinburgh seems like a bit of an anomaly where we just sort of probably get the director that's kind of been flown up for the day and then back home on sort of probably the red eye flight. There was a slight disappointment there, I think, because it would have been great to have seen some of the cast there. And I know you've met Elizabeth Olsen many years ago, and I have not, so I feel like you have won over me.
I did, yeah, and I was, as I said to you, I think I was very tempted to actually tweet the photo I had from 6 years ago and sort of hashtagging Edinburgh into it to get people going a bit crazy on Twitter pretending that she was actually there when she wasn't. But in the end, I felt that would be far too cruel. I'm not that cruel.
I think the flaming mobs would have been after you for doing that one. So well thought out plan in the end.
yeah. But I mean, I thought it was a great part, because I think, there was these initial sort of rumours that sort of there was this £1,000 charity ticket where you could get dinner with Joe Russo, Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany, but they seemed to sort of disappear off into the ether. And I think my sort of hype was sort of tempered down when the London event was billed as the UK fan event. That sort of hinted that the Edinburgh event wasn't going to be as big if it was going to happen at all, because it was actually a couple of days after the London event that they took to announce the Edinburgh one. But in the end, I thought it was I thought Joe Russo was great. And I mean, when he came in, apparently he spoke to all the fans and he put on a second screening of the footage for the ones that were just hanging around that had missed tickets first time round. He took photos with everyone, he spoke to everyone, he did autographs and everything, and I just thought it was a really sort of class act from someone who didn't need to do that, but clearly was having a great time sort of meeting the fans and speaking to them and giving something back.
I think as well, the fact that he put on this second screening, that there was so many people had turned up, you know, in the hope of maybe seeing some of the actors or, you know, kind of anything really taking place, that he was like, yeah, just get that screening put back on again. So once we had come out of our screening, you know, I think there was another line of people that weren't as lucky to have got tickets, or, you know, some people I saw on social media travelled from places like Newcastle or, you know, further north or south of the border. So it was really good that they had the opportunity to see that as well. It's things like that that kind of, you know, when you think about these sorts of Avengers movies, yeah, they are big Disney tent poles and things like that, but this adds the human touch into it, the human element, where you think, yeah, there are genuine people involved that are really happy to be involved, and they're not just doing this for the job essentially. It's things like that which I think separate people from the rest. And you know, this impromptu signing and photos, he was like, yeah, let's go do that, we'll just go hang out here outside this screen, and we would do it. And you know, we got some posters signed and we got some pictures with him. I thought I was really impressed by him. It was a different class.
Yeah. I think the staff at the Cineworld might have had a slightly different view, because it's kind of sort of seemed like he was making this stuff up as he went along, and I'm not sure if Cineworld were completely aware of what was going on. So it's like when he comes in and announces, hey guys, I'm going to put on a second screening for you, I'm pretty sure Cineworld were kind of like, oh right, okay, well let's make sure that we've still got time to do that and stuff like that. So I'm sure behind the scenes they were panicking. Yeah. But I mean, the fans loved it. I mean, because I mean, these are the fans. I mean, I sort of came down last year when they were filming, and there was probably fans out there every single night watching for hours trying to get a glimpse of something. Because I mean, I know that Edinburgh's appeared in films before, but I don't think anything ever on this sort of scale. So this is a huge deal for Edinburgh. And as Joe Russo confirmed at the event, even though we didn't actually see any footage of Edinburgh in the footage that was screened, he did confirm that Edinburgh will appear as Edinburgh in the final film, which is great news for Edinburgh.
So let's talk about the film itself. We'll maybe have like kind of a few minutes chat about it, sort of in a non-spoiler way, and then, you know, if people want to continue listening and hear spoilers, then bash on. I'm sure that the way these things kind of go, people kind of have a rough idea about what's kind of already been screened or have scanned on Reddit and stuff like that. So kind of initial reaction, we got kind of two scenes, maybe about 20 minutes into the movie, something along those lines. And we kickstart with something that we see in the trailer. We see Iron Man, Doctor Strange, Dr. Banner, and I forget his name, but
Wong,
Doctor Strange's sidekick. So what was your kind of your takeaway after these sort of 25 minutes when you came out of the movie? Well, the preview. What did you think?
I thought it was the footage was fantastic. I thought that the first scene in particular, the special effects were looking really good. I mean, there's still there's not much time left before the film comes out, but it looks like they're pretty much cinema ready. I thought there was a great sort of interplay between the characters, particularly the sort of, because this is the first time that Doctor Strange and Iron Man meet, and there's some great sort of back and forth between those two, because I think they both sort of see themselves as a sort of alpha male of the group. So I think that's going to be an interesting sort of development as the film goes on. And I thought the action there was great. The second scene that it moves into with the Guardians of the Galaxy, I thought sort of captured the right sort of tone. I think there's going to be a lot of different sort of stylistic tones that are going to be, each sort of section is going to have a sort of different tone, and the second one was definitely more along the sort of comedic side. But I was thinking today that this is actually the first time that someone other than James Gunn has directed the Guardians of the Galaxy, but it totally felt just like it's picked up straight off from the second volume, and I think the Russo's are going to do a great job with those characters as well. What did you think?
Yeah, the second part I enjoyed more than the first, and that's not a slight on the first part at all. One thing that kind of surprised me in a really positive way is that with the trailers, I feel that half of the trailer footage that we've seen, where it seems to be a lot of kind of things that are going on in New York, and then Wakanda, we kind of got a lot of that New York stuff seems to be filling up a lot of the trailers, and that's only about 10-15 minutes of the movie. So that makes me really happy, knowing that when I go see this movie in a few weeks, there's going to be a lot to surprise me, there's going to be a lot to excite me, that I don't feel with this trailer that a lot has been spoiled or shown. I feel like they've gone, right, take some footage from this kind of final battle in Wakanda, or maybe it isn't the final battle, who knows, and sort of this New York stuff, shove that in, a voiceover, there we go. So I'm excited with that element anyway.
Yeah, no, actually, yeah, that's a really good point. I think they've done a really good job with the trailers, of, you can kind of guess where the story's going to go, but yeah, they haven't really spoilt, I don't think, any of the major plot points. There's no things that you can sort of, you can easily extrapolate where you think the story might be going, but I'm pretty sure that they've apparently they've been filming scenes that will not appear in the film just potentially for the trailers. They'll be giving fake scripts out to the actors, so they don't even know what the full story is. Only apparently they said that there was the Russos, Kevin Feige, and maybe a couple of others that perhaps know the full story. But the people who are filming, they're only filming their scenes, so they don't know what's happening in the scenes that they're not in. So I think, yeah, they've done a great job so far of keeping the main storyline under wraps, and I think there will be a lot of surprises to come in a couple of weeks.
My only real kind of gripe, if I can call it a gripe, with the first section with like Doctor Strange and Iron Man was that sometimes Marvel movies get accused of sort of undercutting some of the tension with jokes repeatedly, and I kind of got a little bit of that with this sort of section. And you know, I personally found it really funny. I felt it clicked so well, it really flowed, whereas I can imagine some people that have that complaint about Marvel movies will find that kind of continues on in Marvel movies, that you know, that whole 15-20 minutes, it was like a really sharp comedy. It could have been easily been a Frasier 20 minute episode in terms of how well it flowed. So I think if you're a fan of that sort of rhythm and dialogue from Marvel, you know, it's more of the same, and that's something to be excited about. Whereas if that's something you perhaps are a bit more critical of, then it could be an issue in the movie. But again, we've only got this small sample to truly work from. It's hard to know what the tone overall of this movie is going to be on in the rest of it.
Yeah, no, I think I expect the tone to get quite dark towards the second half of the movie, if, you know, because I've always had this assumption that, you know, for Thanos, who's been sitting on a chair for six movies or however many movies he's been around, he needs to be seen as a legitimate threat. So I think someone is going to die pretty early on, and I think there may be a couple more Avengers leaving us before the end credits roll. So I think it will get dark, because yeah, you don't want the humor to underplay you know, a character's death, who's someone who's been around for between 8 to 10 years, that needs to be treated with the right sort of respect. But I think the Russos will be able to handle it. And I think certainly from the small amount of footage we did see, I think they're going to make sure that every single character will get their time to shine. And I think they'll be able to balance it. I mean, they've got a lot of plates spinning in this movie with about 30 odd different main characters. So I think they're doing a great job of making sure that everyone will, that no one's going to get lost in the mix anyway throughout the film.
Definitely. So let's dive into some kind of spoilers. And I think for me, the kind of almost discussion that's somewhat spoilery is, it doesn't really have anything to perhaps do too much with the footage. But my feeling is, and you know, this is your last chance, if you don't want to be spoiled, you know, put this on pause, come back in a few weeks when the movie's out, or go out and listen to one of our other episodes. We've got two dropping today anyway. I feel when we sort of see we cut to the second part of the footage, and it's kind of, it's Thor meeting the Guardians of the Galaxy. So obviously at the end of Thor 3, we see that he encounters this ship. So it must be some sort of ship now associated with Thanos. And we discover kind of, there's been a destruction, there's Asgardians floating in space, there's rubble, and it's clear that Thanos has appeared, and we're kind of missing Loki, and sadly our rock monster friend Taiki Waititi. So it kind of, I feel that sets up nicely how I think the movie's going to open, and as you say, Thanos needs to make a big statement of intent, and I think coming in and, you know, sort of almost probably finishing off an endangered species, and possibly Loki, who's only reduced to maybe one scene in a trailer, I think that's probably how I see the film kind of opening.
Yeah, I think that will be the opening scene. There's Korg, that's the name of Taika Waititi's character. There's Meek, his little friend. Heimdall is also on the ship. I'm presuming that scene, yeah, is the scene where, I mean, at some point, I guess, Bruce Banner's Hulk will have to somehow make it back to Earth from that. So I expect that'll probably be quite a big scene, introducing Thanos and the Black Order as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see a hint of the Black Order as well in the first footage as well. We see that they come to Earth looking for the Time Stone that Doctor Strange has, and then it kind of kicks off from there. The Spider-Man footage that we've seen from the movie largely comes from that kind of scene as well. What did you sort of think of that? Did you expect Doctor Strange to be kidnapped? Obviously, we see some hint of him being tortured in the movie. Did you expect it to go down like that?
I didn't expect it to happen maybe as soon as it did. There is a scene later on in the trailers. But it seems that, yeah, the trailers do seem to basically feature all the footage, apart from the Wakanda footage, basically seems to be coming from maybe potentially the first half hour of the film. And I think the film's now just been confirmed as being 2.5 hour runtime. So there's still a lot of footage that we have not seen, and there's lots of exciting things to come, I think.
Yeah, definitely. So I feel kind of come out excited, and I think my main takeaway and surprise was Rocket Raccoon and Thor is the matchup that I never thought I needed, and boy do I want more and more of that. Them two were fantastic.
Yeah, no, I think their little subplot is going to be very entertaining, and but I think the funniest bit for that for me was, and I'm not going to spoil it because it's so funny, you need to sort of experience it first time round, is what Star-Lord does when Thor comes on board, and how he tries to assert himself as the captain of the ship. I thought it was absolutely hilarious. And this is going to be, there's going to be, was it three Chrises? The three Chrises from the Marvel Cinematic Universe potentially all sharing the screen at the same time, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Exactly. I feel sorry that Chris Pine can't join them in the big Chris off. So was there any other thoughts you had on the footage? Has it added to your excitement level that's already at kind of maximum pressure point?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. It was that thing, I think we discussed it before we were going in. It's like, it's great to be able to see some of the footage, but as soon as it finishes, you're like, why have I done that to myself? Because I've now still got 16 days to go before I see how it ends. And I'm like, I want to see what happens now. And yeah, it's just that we do it to ourselves. But it's that, our anticipation is just going up and up. And I mean, I think the Russos so far have delivered my two favourite Marvel films in The Winter Soldier and Civil War, and I expect them to deliver again with this one.
Absolutely. So it's hard to believe that kind of really next week, as of this episode dropping, it's going to be here at long last. You know, we've got our Infinity War catch up to finish, and it's going to be there. I'm secretly hoping Cineworld have still got like three screenings of Black Panther a day on, and I'm hoping next week that they are smart and savvy and they go, just put one on, you know, a few hours before Infinity War starts at like 8 o'clock, 8:30 at night, so I can watch that, have a break, and then go into Infinity War. So I'm excited. I can't believe it's finally about to happen. I've already got a flexi day booked off for work for the day after, so I don't have to go into lunchtime. So yeah, if this footage was meant to get me even more excited, it certainly did its job, and I really can't wait.
Yeah, no, me too. I think you might actually be okay with Black Panther, because I saw it on Friday night, and it was still like the screen was sort of two-thirds full, and this is nearly sort of 2 months on from when it first came out, so it's still pulling in huge audiences. So I think it definitely will still be in cinema screens up until the release of Infinity War, and then will probably disappear, because let's face it, if a cinema's got like 10 screens, probably 9 out of the 10 will be Infinity War that weekend.
Absolutely, and touch wood as well that like the day this episode drops is when like the listings for the following week go up. So I'm hoping it times in quite nicely. So, and one kind of thing, just before we sort of kind of wrap up our, you know, preview, and we cut to me and Joe discussing the preview, getting her sort of non-geeky viewpoint on things. You put up this great tweet yesterday, and if anyone follows you on Twitter, it's at champcelluloid, where you was like, "What would you?" And you posed the question, what are the best movies the Avengers cast have been in that aren't the Avengers movies? So, and I thought, I sent you a message, I was like, this is a great idea for a show. And then I was like, actually, let's just put it in at the end of this episode, because we'll end up having about 8,000 Marvel episodes in April alone. So I thought, you know, I only know one of your answers, and I got my girlfriend to write down the list of actors you've picked, and I've added a couple at the end. So do you want to take us like turn at a time going through with an actor, we'll say our movie, and then we'll kind of work our way down the list? I'm sure someone will message in that, oh, we've missed someone. We've tried our best not to, but I'm sure we can't fit everyone in too, or else this episode will be about 6 hours long.
Yeah, no, so I think I basically went through the cast, the sort of the roster of the Avengers up until sort of Infinity War. So it doesn't include the Guardians of the Galaxy, but pretty much all the other main characters who've appeared in the Avengers. So I'm going to start off with Iron Man and Robert Downey Jr. And for me, the best film that he has appeared in, not his best performance, but just the best film that he's appeared in for me, is David Fincher's Zodiac.
A very good choice. I was very, very closely tempted to pick that one, but I've kind of picked that. It's just one of my all-time favourite movies. He's brilliant in it, but I went for Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
That was my second choice, yeah.
So next up is Chris Evans. I've gone for Snowpiercer.
I've gone for exactly the same.
Did you not think about going for Cellular?
No, sadly not. I was close to going with Scott Pilgrim because his Lucas Lee is...
Oh, that's a good choice.
That's actually hilarious. But no, for me, Snowpiercer is still one of those great films that UK audiences have not had the proper chance to see. So if anyone has either access to a Region 1 DVD player or Region A Blu-ray player, or even like I think you can get it from France on DVD and Blu-ray. Please check it out, because it's just an absolutely fantastic film.
Absolutely, I echoed that. And I think it's on UK Netflix. I think it is, or it was anyway. So have a wee nosy there as well.
Okay, next one is Chris Hemsworth as Thor. And for me, his best film is Rush.
Ooh, I've got Rush as well. It was a movie I got sick of seeing that trailer nonstop at the cinema. And then when it came out, him and Daniel Brühl were fantastic. And I think it's a criminally underrated
movie. I think so too, yeah. I don't think it was a film that going into it I had any great desire to see. I wasn't a huge sort of Formula One fan, but I just thought the two of them were fantastic in it. And I thought Ron Howard did a really good job of telling that story and that rivalry.
Excellent. Excellent. So the next choice is Mark Ruffalo, and I've gone with Spotlight.
Spotlight. This is possibly a bit of a cheat, but I've gone for Zodiac for Mark Ruffalo as well.
It's well earned. It's such a great movie. It's one of my all-time favourites. So an excellent choice there.
Okay. Next up is Black Widow and Scarlett Johansson. And I went with her for that one.
Ooh, that's an interesting choice.
Yeah, I suppose because she isn't
somewhat
in
tempted,
it, but she's
that
in
one.
It. So...
Yeah, that's close enough. Well, you know, she sells that performance and relationship. If it was just like me on the other end, I don't think we could imagine a relationship between me and Joaquin Phoenix. So yeah, I think it's a really good choice. I've gone for maybe it's the more obvious one of the bunch, but Lost in Translation. It's even though it's, you know, 15 odd years now, I think it's still one of her best performances, and I think she's fantastic in it. And you know, I can't knock that.
You weren't
movie.
Tempted to go for Under the Skin then?
I've made a mistake. Have we both made a mistake?
I'm going to put Under the Skin for Scarlett Johansson because I think I can reuse her later on, so it's fine.
Okay, oh well, I endorse your choice of Under the Skin and I will stick with Lost in Translation, but I've made a huge mistake. So the next one up is, we've not seen him in the trailers, but we're you'll be included anyway, or maybe
he does appear on IMDb for the cast list, so up until the movie comes out and we know for sure, we can assume that he's in there somewhere.
Ooh, interesting choice. Well, I saw this in your home city of Aberdeen, and I've gone for Wind River. I think he's fantastic in that. You know, it's an excellent pairing between him and Elizabeth Olsen, and I found it to be a very underrated movie last year, and I think anyone that actually sees this movie tends to particularly really enjoy it and is very fond of it. Maybe based on the subject matter, fond is maybe the wrong word, but I think it's a fantastic movie and a great
performance. I think in my top three of last year, I thought it was an absolutely fantastic film, and there's a door knock sequence which completely threw me for a loop. It's almost like a double rug pull. There's like a moment happens after that and you're like, what? And then there's another one, you're like, what? And Wind River is a fantastic choice. I mean, he's done a lot of great films, but for me, that one is his best one. Yeah,
definitely. So who's next up then, Matt?
Moving on, we've got Nick Fury's Samuel L. Jackson.
What have you gone for?
Jurassic Park.
Ooh, that's an interesting choice. I've maybe gone for the more obvious one. I've picked Pulp Fiction because it's just such an incredible performance. But Jurassic Park is a very good shout.
Yeah, no, if it was down to performance, I probably would have gone Pulp Fiction. But since I'd said movie overall, I've gone with Jurassic Park, which is still a classic.
So. Yeah, I've maybe just interpreted it as going for like their best performance. You've gone for the best. So at least it keeps it quite interesting, I suppose. Cool. So the next one up is... Jeremy Renner's co-star in the Avengers movies and Wind River, Elizabeth Olsen, and I've gone for Ingrid Goes West. I absolutely love her in that, and I actually think it's an incredibly brilliant movie. You know, the last 5 minutes, maybe not so great, but Elizabeth Olsen as this Instagram fiend, celeb, blogger is absolutely fantastic. Her and Aubrey Plaza are such a great pairing, and it's one of these movies that was, you know, got next to no screenings here in the UK, and I highly recommend picking up. You can buy it on DVD. It's not available on Blu-ray, but it's a movie well worth seeking out. You have to seek it out. You can't just find it at this moment in time, sadly.
No, that's a very good choice. I think I put down Wind River for Elizabeth Olsen as well, but Ingrid Goes West, it was a fantastic film, and also a great performance by Wyatt Russell, who is a sort of great underrated actor and son of Kurt Russell. And whenever he's got a beard on, it's just like he looks just like the spitting image of his dad. And it's like if they ever wanted to do another thing film, I think he could probably step into his dad's shoes, no problem at all.
Definitely. So who's next up then?
Next up, I think we have got, it's Paul Bettany. So it's Scarlet Witch's potential love interest, Vision. So what have you gone for?
This is a tough one. It came down to between Master and Commander and Margin Call, and Margin Call just pipped it. It's a movie I think is very underrated and I would implore people to seek out. And I think it's the same with Master and Commander as well. It's such an incredible movie, and why it's not in the top 10 movies of the 2000s and things like that just absolutely baffles me. It seems to have kind of very much kind of sailed under the radar for the most part.
Yeah, no, I actually chose Master and Commander for Paul Bettany because, I think it is, it's, I don't know, it's weird. I want to say it's one of the most underrated films of all time, but it was nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars in 2004. So it did get a lot of recognition at the time, but it's just one that seems to have, yeah, sort of, people have kind of forgotten about it, and I don't think they should, because I think it's an utterly fantastic film. Russell Crowe is brilliant. Paul Bettany is fantastic. And yeah, no, it's just one of the best sort of movies about the sort of seafaring life I think I've ever seen. So,
yeah, absolutely spot on. So the next one is Tom Hiddleston, and I've gone for, I feel like I'm going to say this for most movies, a very underrated one as well, by Jim Jarmusch, Only Lovers Left Alive, where Tom Hiddleston plays an aging vampire in Detroit.
I've picked the same thing, yeah. I was close on High Rise, but then thankfully remembered that, yeah, Only Lovers Left Alive, and I thought that was just a brilliant film, which also stars the Ancient One from Doctor Strange, Tilda Swinton, so we could include it for that one as well. But yeah, no, I thought that was a fantastic film.
Yeah, if you have to pick a movie where it's like, name the Avengers movie, you know, with the cast where they are, they're most naked, Tom Hiddleston would have been a tap-in for High Rise, but unfortunately, we weren't judging on that one.
No. So next up, we've got the man who... when I guess the internet probably exploded when he appeared on screen next to Loki. It's Benedict Cumberbatch.
Ooh, I've gone for Atonement. He still terrifies me in that movie. I think it's a brilliant performance, and I'd love to see Benedict Cumberbatch do more sinister roles.
I went for Atonement as well. I always kind of forget that he's in that role where he's just a total sleaze, but I thought he was fantastic in that. I was close to going for Starter for 10 as well, which I think is a really sort of underrated film as well.
Yes. It's got such a great cast as well, of people that have gone on to appear in these sci-fi movies and blockbusters and comic book movies. It's like a hell of a cast.
Yeah. So next up, I think we've got Anthony Mackie, the Falcon. So what have you gone for?
I've gone for The Hurt Locker. What about yourself?
I went with The Adjustment Bureau, which for me...
I've never actually watched that one.
Oh, you have to see it. For me, no. It was one of... I just loved that film when it came out. I think it was the chemistry between Emily Blunt and Matt Damon was incredible. And it's a completely silly premise about these men in hats who basically are forcing these two people who've fallen in love apart because it's what the world needs. But they keep finding a way to sort of meet each other again and threaten the space-time continuum or something like that. But for me, I thought it was just a fantastic film. And Anthony Mackie plays one of the men who's supposed to keep them apart, but basically ends up deciding, you know, that these two need to be together. So I do recommend checking it out if you can.
I will. I'll have to check that out on Netflix. So up next is one of Tumblr's favourite actors, Sebastian Stan, and I've picked his recent performance in I, Tonya. What about yourself?
I've gone for Black Swan.
Ooh, I always forget he was in that.
Yeah, no, he's like one of the guys who ends up going on like a double date with them in a bar or something like that. So I always thought it was like, I'm pretty sure I did like one of those memes. It's like when, you know, the whole Civil War thing came out when Steve and Tony started fighting. It was basically like basically showing Chris Hemsworth an image of the Winter Soldier going on a date with Jane Foster and going Civil War.
That's a good one.
So yeah, no, I mean, that's one of my favourite films of all time, Black Swan. So yeah, the fact that he's in a small role, incredible. But yeah, again, yeah, if it was performance wise, I thought he was brilliant in I, Tonya as well. So.
Definitely.
So next up, we've got Thanos himself, Josh Brolin. What have you gone with?
I thought this was quite a hard one. I could have picked numerous.
He has done
ones,
a lot of good films recently. Yeah, he's on a bit of a roll at the moment. But what did you go with?
I went with Inherent Vice. I think he is hysterical in that one. And when I was just picking my choice, I was like, "What am I going to go for?" Relooked at IMDb, looked again, and I don't know why. Just the image of him and Joaquin Phoenix, and just that moment. If you've not seen Inherent Vice, where he just starts eating the marijuana and the scene where he's like, more panakeko, and I just think he is hysterical in that movie. I genuinely love him in that. So I thought I'd pick something where he kind of shows his comedic chops and not just his action and you know, gruff sort of nature. I think he's brilliant in many movies, whether it's Sicario or something like this. So I went down on this one.
No, I went with action and gruff and picked Sicario for Josh Brolin. However, I was very, very close to picking The Goonies as well. So,
that would have been a nice left field choice.
Yeah. So next up is Rhodey and Don Cheadle, and I picked Out of Sight.
Interesting. I went for a movie sort of around the similar time. I went for Bullworth.
Okay, cool. That's one that I haven't seen in years. So I probably good. Really need to revisit it, actually. But yeah, no, I loved him in Out of Sight, and it's just a fantastic movie. And it's still probably the only example of a good film with Jennifer Lopez in it, unless you have a counter argument to that one.
The Cell, maybe? I don't know. I don't think anyone ever saw The Cell, but maybe that one would be the one. So the next one up is Paul Rudd, and I think if you asked most people, they would try and crowbar Friends into this one. I went for his performance in Anchorman, which is still an absolute comedy classic role. I think he's fantastic in that one.
Yeah, I chose Anchorman as well because, you know, 60% of the time it works every time. I did think about Clueless as well, and I think he's the same as Keanu Reeves in that those two men do not age whatsoever. No. They look exactly the same. It's like, I don't know if they're drinking the blood of virgins or whatever, but I need to have some of whatever they're having.
Absolutely. And then kind of the final one up, I think it is Chadwick Boseman. What did you go for?
Chadwick Boseman, I think I've gone with 42. He hasn't done a huge amount of movies, but I did remember seeing this one a few years ago. I'm surprised that I've actually got a cinematic release because it's about baseball, but he was playing Jackie Robinson, and it was actually a surprisingly good movie about baseball. What have you gone with?
Yeah, I've not seen that one. I know he talked in an interview where he had a habit in his earlier sort of career of being, you know, people that are, you know, real life individuals. So kind of when he got the chance to be Black Panther, this icon in another way, he took it. And I went for his role in Get On Up as James Brown, and I think he's so good in that performance. It could easily be a parody, and I think I saw this not long after it was announced he would be Black Panther, and I thought he was excellent in the role. And I think you watch that and you think, man, this guy is going to go places. And you know, now he's got one of the biggest movies of all time under his belt, and potentially a second one in as many months. So you know, I think he's certainly done right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you wanted to end on, we can't do all the Guardians of the Galaxy, but I think you wanted to end on Chris Pratt. So what did you pick for?
I went for, he's the same. He's not been in the greatest amount of movies at this moment in time. It's mostly been Parks and Recreation, which I am a huge, huge fan of. But I think in his small role in Zero Dark Thirty, where he plays one of the team that take out Osama bin Laden, movies like that, when he was announced that he was going to be in a Guardians of the Galaxy, a lot of people were like, what? And I think even James Gunn went, what, the fat guy from Parks and Rec? Whereas I think when you watch Zero Dark Thirty, I think if you were a fan of Parks and Rec at the time, you'd be like, That's Andy Dwyer, look how jacked he looks. And going into sort of Guardians of the Galaxy, you had total faith that he could do comedy and action so well, and that he could put a podgy body or whatever that people thought he had and become this muscle machine. So yeah, Zero Dark Thirty for me.
Yeah, no, I think I'm going to go with Her for Chris Pratt, because he's in that in a small role. And I think that is the best film that he's been in. But actually, he was also, sort of really good in sort of, small roles like Moneyball and stuff. So, I think, those are the sort of best ones that he's been in. So, yeah, he can be really good and effective in a small role. So, but also, like, the Lego Movie, I thought was brilliant. So, you know, he's done some very good films, yeah.
Absolutely. So thank you very much for sharing your thoughts, Dallas. Yeah, obviously, we're going to be back again. You know, you get a double bill of us today. We'll be talking about Ghost Stories, A Quiet Place, Ready Player One, and some of our Marvel rewatch as well. And the next episode that you can listen to, it'll have downloaded onto your iPhones, or it'll be on our website you can tune into. And then we'll be back again in a few weeks to discuss Avengers Infinity War. We're going to have two episodes out that week reviewing it. It'll be me and you up in the first one, and then it'll be the rest of the Nerd Party gang as well, so plenty to look forward to this month. But if people wanted to kind of reach out to you before then, I know you're doing some Infinity War blogs. Where can people kind of reach out to you and check them out?
Yeah, but you can catch me on Twitter at @champcelluloid, and I've got my blog where I'm currently going on the road to Infinity War to catch up with you guys, and that'll be at championshipcelluloid.blogspot.com.
And you'll be back with us as well to discuss Thor 3 and Black Panther as well. So you'll certainly be hearing plenty of Dallas in the next coming weeks as well, which is never a bad thing.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say so.
Oh, well, we'll now dive into the second part of the episode. So I hope you'll enjoy this part. So now we're on to part two. I'm by Joe. Joe has never listened to a podcast. never listened to podcast I've been on and now is having a small 5-10 minute cameo to discuss her thoughts of the Marvel fan event. Obviously, you're not a raging geek like me and Dallas.
Not quite.
No. So what was your reaction firstly to getting a golden ticket, as it were, to the event?
Well, it's exciting, but just a Tuesday night, wasn't it?
I suppose so, yeah. So it was just a normal Tuesday night for you, so that kind of gives you an idea into kind of your fandom, I guess. So what did you think? Well, obviously, we've made it sure that it's spoiler chat, as it were, now, so you can say anything you want about what you saw. So what did you think of the footage? So it's also like 20 minutes in. You've not seen Doctor Strange, that's the only Marvel movie you've not seen.
Yeah, Doctor Strange is the only one I've not seen. Mm-hmm. What was the question?
What did you think of the footage? You've not seen Doctor Strange, so what was your thoughts on, say, the first part where it's like Doctor Strange, Iron Man,
Spider-Man? The first thing is Benedict Cumberbatch's awful American accent was just off-putting.
It does take time to acclimatise too.
But yeah, I guess before going in, I wasn't that excited for the new film. I was going to go see it and everything, but I wasn't on the edge of my seat. But having seen the footage, I'm a lot more excited to go see it.
What got you excited, apart from Benedict Cumberbatch's accent?
Well, it was funny. It was funny. I thought, obviously, the first Avengers film, everyone liked it because it was the humour. And then I felt maybe in the other films, the humour had gone a bit downhill and I found it a bit irritating. Mm-hmm. But it seemed this wee footage that we saw, it seemed, you know, good funny again.
And you got plenty of Spider-Man in this footage.
Yeah, Spider-Man's my favourite. So.
Why is he your favourite?
I just like it. He's young and I just like him.
Excellent. So with this, like, obviously you've got to watch Doctor Strange before we watch Infinity War in like a week and a half's time. Does seeing Doctor Strange in this footage get you excited to watch that movie?
No, not at all.
Why not?
I feel like I've, from watching 20 minutes of this new film, I know everything about Doctor Strange that I perhaps need to know already. He's a wizard, according to Iron Man.
He's a surgeon as well. You like Grey's Anatomy.
Okay, maybe you'll do a cameo in Grey's Anatomy.
There you go. So what did you make of the second half footage that we watched Thor 3 recently, which I really adore, and you not so much?
Yeah, not so much.
What's your thoughts on Taiki Waititi?
No. I mean, he's alright.
You don't have to impress anyone that's on the other end. No one's going to care.
Yeah.
Quote, "I find him annoying" was the words last week.
Yeah, I do find him annoying, but...
But you did agree with him about New Zealand.
So he's right there.
Obviously, you have family from New Zealand, so... So, what did you make of the Guardians of the Galaxy Thor mashup?
Oh, I really liked it. I thought it was good. I think Thor and what's the raccoon called?
Rocket.
Thor and Rocket chat was stuff that I didn't even think about before, and it was really good. It was a partnership I hadn't seen come in that I now like.
I was the same. I feel like I want more of that now.
I want a Thor Rocket spin-off.
Yeah, I know in Marvel that'll probably be announced as a Phase 4 movie. So now that you're excited for this movie, are you looking forward to seeing it at midnight next Wednesday?
Well, I mean, I'll be tired. No, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it. It'll be good patter.
It will be good patter. So have you got any final thoughts on the footage that we saw? Obviously, you didn't want to meet Joe Russo afterwards for a photo or getting anything signed.
Yeah, I mean, can't be bothered with that. But yeah, I'm sure it will be a nice evening/early morning out to go see it.
Will you be coming back on in the future to discuss Avengers Infinity War? Is this your one and only appearance or listening to a podcast?
I wouldn't want to dilute the experience of the audience.
Of
course. One's enough.
Yeah, there you go. We've gone out on a peak. So, Joe, if anyone wanted to talk to you about Taiki Waititi, where could people find you on the internet?
Oh, absolutely nowhere.
Well, consider that done. Well, thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.